Let us return to Numbers chapter 10. Numbers chapter 10 and verse 29. Numbers 10, verse 29. And Moses said unto Hobab, the son of Raguel, the Midianite, Moses' father-in-law, we are journeying unto the place of which the Lord said, I will give it you. Come thou with us, and we will do thee good, for the Lord has spoken good concerning Israel. Especially like to focus on the words in the middle of that verse, the plea of Moses, come thou with us, and we will do thee good. We sang together in Psalm 4, verse 6, there be many that say, who will show us any good? We don't need to live long in this world to see the truth of that verse. Because in a world so full of sadness and badness, people are looking for good. Who will show us any good? People looking for a good time, a good job, good health, good relationships, good party, good family, a good anything. Who will show us any good? Give us something good. Tell us something good. Show us something good. And of course, there's no shortage of people willing to answer that question. Who will show us any good? And then come multitudes of people saying, we'll show you good. Come with us. We'll show you a good time. We'll show you a good way. We'll give you a good life. The world is full of such promises, isn't it? Whether it's politicians, entertainers, singers, stars, philosophers, gurus, false religions, everyone's saying, come with us. We'll do you good. And into this cacophony of invitations comes this one from Moses. Come thou with us, and we will do thee good. And of course, what Moses is saying here is really an emphasis throughout the whole of the Bible. Why should we listen to Moses, or to God speaking to us through Moses? Why should we listen to this Bible's invitation when we have so many other options? Well, I believe Moses brings four reasons in front of us here this evening as to why we should heed this invitation, God's call to goodness. I hope these four reasons will be persuasive with you. First of all, he says, come thou with us, because we are going to a good place. We're going to a good place. When we meet the children of Israel in this chapter, they've been camped at the bottom of Sinai for about 11 months. They've constructed this portable church, tabernacle. They've received the law. And now God has told them to take up their tent pegs, gather everything up, and start walking towards the wilderness. And it's an amazing sight. There's approximately 2 million people here. And they're organized. We read some of the verses as to the order that this was done in, with the heads of tribes and their standards and banners leading the way. This was a really impressive sight to behold, and obviously sound as well. And so there's this huge hustle and bustle as 2 million people get gathered up from having been resident in a place for 11 months and begin to move forward. And off they go over the horizon, one tribe after another, with their tens of thousands, hundreds of thousands following. And everything's going well. When Moses sees, lo and behold, somebody going in the opposite direction. A straggler. Somebody who's not joining the people. What does Moses do? Does he say, well, we've got 2 million, or we've got 1,999,999. What does it matter if we lose one along the way? No. With the shepherd's heart, he goes after this person that at least is reluctant and probably is going in the other direction. While everyone else is going forward, Moses finds this man. His name is Hobab. And we read in verse 29, he's the son of Raguel the Midianite. Another name for this man is Jethro. We were told he's Moses' father-in-law. Remember, Moses married Zipporah, Jethro's daughter. So this is Zipporah's brother, Jethro, Raguel's son. This Moses' brother-in-law. And he goes to him, and he says, we are journeying unto the place of which the Lord said, I will give it you. Come thou with us, and we'll do thee good. Now, it's reasonable, isn't it? If you're wanting someone to join you on a journey, it's reasonable to expect that you would tell them where you're going to go. You can't really expect someone to jump in your vehicle with you or join with you. You have no idea where you're going. And so Moses says, we're going to a certain place, a definite place. We are going to the place of which the Lord said, I will give it you. Now, there's a wilderness on the way. There are wanderings on the way. But we are going to a definite place. We know where we're going. And it's a good place. And it's a place that's promised. It's the promised land. Notice the language that Moses uses here. To the place of which the Lord said, I will give it you. Emphasis here on the promise, guaranteeing the land, and also the gift, the grace. This is not a place that's been earned by Israel. It's a place they've received as a gift of God. A place described in various parts of the books of Moses as a land flowing with milk and honey. A fruitful place, a fertile place, but above all, a given place and a promised place, a guaranteed place and a gracious place. He's saying, we know where we're going, and we will get there, because God has promised. Come with us, we're going to a good place. Now, we know from reading Hebrews that the Old Testament saints, while they had a focus on that physical land of Canaan, that promised land, that was not their ultimate aim and destination. They looked for a city which had foundations, whose builder and maker was God. They looked beyond that land. They saw it as merely a shadow land of a far greater land, a heavenly land. And Moses here is not just saying to Hobab, come with us to the Middle East, that good place God has promised, but above all, to heaven. To the not just a good place, but the greatest place. He's saying, we know where we're going. And we know we'll get there. Because God has promised it and God has gifted it. And friends, this is how God's people appeal to you tonight. We're going to a good land. We're going to the best of lands. We're going to the promised land. A land of which God has said, I will give it thee. We're not going there because we've somehow earned it, merited it, deserved it, worked for it. We're not going there because we've given something to God or given something to others. We're going there because it's been given to us as a gift of grace. And we've received it as such. And we've embraced it as such. And we're looking forward to such. We know where we're going. We know our ultimate destination. We know there's going to be a wilderness on the way. We know there's going to be wanderings. We know there's going to be difficulties. We know there's going to be setbacks. But we know where we're going. And we're going to get there. Not because of our endeavors or efforts, but because of God's promise, God's guarantee, God's gift. That's the Christian's hope. What's your hope? Where are you going? So you look back on the past year. You look at the path that you've walked and the way you've lived. And then you project that forwards. If it's not going to change, if it's just going to be another year of the same next year, where's it ultimately leading? Do you know where you're going? Do you have any sense of direction? Do you have any purpose in life? Do you have any sense that there's a destination that you'll eventually arrive at? You're traveling, but do you know where you're going? You've got maybe some rough ideas, but do you have any guarantees? Are you looking for anything beyond this world and your acre or two here? Are you looking to a city which has foundations, whose builder and maker is God? Do you have a hope of heaven? And is your hope of heaven a biblical hope? A hope that's based on gift. God's gift rather than your worth, your works. That's the only way to get to this good place, this great place, this best place, is by leaning on a promise. It's by depending on a gift. Come with us. Come with us. Join us. We're going to a good place. We look at you as Moses did, Hobab, and we see, yes, it's wonderful that there are many going to heaven, but we'd love you to join. We're not content until we see all our children, are we, parents, heading in that direction? And so we keep appealing to them. And you want me to keep appealing to them through the ministry of the word. Come with us. We'll do you good. Come with us. We're going to a good place. Don't go off wandering again for another year in the wilderness without direction. Don't go off for another year trying to work your way into God's favor. Come with us. We're going to a good place. Second reason is, though, we will do you good. Come now with us, says Moses to Hobab, and we will do thee good. If I'm going on a journey, somebody asks me, come along with us, I want to know what to expect. Maybe especially want to know, who are my traveling companions going to be? Because that's really what makes a journey enjoyable, isn't it? Who I'm with. You can travel on your own, it's kind of boring. You can travel with some people and it's just an agony. But if you have good traveling companions, then the hardest journey can be a pleasant journey. The longest journey can seem the shortest journey. Who's on this journey? Well, Moses here describes them as people who want to do you good. That's what their heartbeat is. That's what their instinct is. And this has an implication in it. There's a hint in these words that things are not perfect with Hobab. If you think of Hobab as a man who's got it all together and who's got everything sorted and life is just perfect and wonderful, and somebody comes up to him and says, we'll do you good, he's going to start back, isn't he? Proudly say, do me good? I don't need any good. I'm self-sufficient. I've got all I need. I don't need you. I don't need your goodness. So implied in these words is a bit of a goad, isn't it? Moses has looked at Hobab and he's seeing, Hobab, you need good because you are bad. You need goodness because you have badness. And no one will ever seek the good that's promised in the Bible. No one will ever seek the good that's promised to the Christian until they see their badness. Until the gospel comes to us saying, we'll do you good, and instead of you saying, good, I've got it all, I don't need any help from you or anything else outside of me, rather you say, that's just what I need. I need goodness from outside of me. I don't have it all together. Things are not right. There is too much badness in me. No matter how hard I try, I need good from outside. I need help. So Moses here is really, he's preaching to Hobab and he's saying, Hobab, come on, acknowledge this. Things are not good. You are not good. You need good. And we can do you good. Come with us. We can give you what you lack. We can supply your want. And of course, Moses isn't here speaking of physical good so much as spiritual good. He's saying, Hobab, you go that way. And you leave behind all spiritual good in this world. You leave behind God's people. You leave behind God's word. You leave behind God's presence. You leave behind fellowship. You leave behind family devotions. You leave behind the Shekinah glory, the dwelling glory cloud of God. You leave behind the tabernacle and all its furniture and all the sacrifices that speak of the Savior. You leave behind prayer. You leave behind public worship. You go that way. And you leave behind all good. But come with us and we'll do you good. Come with us. We've got prayer. We've got Bible. We've got worship. We've got divine presence. We've got the commandments of God. We've got the gospel. We've got the pictures of the sacrifice of Christ in our midst. We've got all necessary good. We can help you get it. We can give it to you. We can share it with you. We can pray with you. We can witness to you. We can help you answer questions. We can point you to the Lord. We'll do you good. Come with us. Moses, you know, he's often portrayed as this legalist, this hard, unbending, unflinching, unfeeling lawgiver. I read this and I see an evangelist, a missionary, a person with a burden for souls who cannot bear to see even one sheep go astray, one family fall by the wayside. And he goes after them. He says, come on. And so it is, friends, as the gospel is preached to you from week to week in this pulpit. God is saying through his servants, come. Come. Acknowledge that there is bad in you, there is sin in you, there is evil, there is lack. Come acknowledge that you're going in the wrong direction, away from good, away from blessing, away from God's people, away from the gospel. Come with us. There's goodness here. There's salvation here. There's grace here. There's mercy here. Come with God's people. They only want to do you good, to benefit you, to bless you, to encourage you along life's journey, to be with you through life's struggles. We're in it together. We want you with us. And we want to do you good. We look into your eyes, we look into your souls, and we say, come with us. We want to do you good. Then thirdly here, Moses says, come with us because we serve a good God. We're going to a good place. We will do you good, and we serve a good God. Verse 29, come thou with us, and we will do thee good, for the Lord hath spoken good concerning Israel. Moses is saying, we will do you good, but I'm only a man. I can make promises and I can break promises. I can make promises that I had all intention of keeping and sadly fail to keep or forget to keep. I can intend to do you good and yet I can make mistakes. But there's one who makes promises and keeps them. There's one who not only promises good, but keeps that promise. For the Lord has spoken good concerning Israel. And I don't think we have all the little sermonette that Moses preached here. Really, he's summing up all the promises of God that he first received at the burning bush and onwards, the promises of redemption, of deliverance, of adoption, of acceptance, of sanctification, of ultimate glory. He's saying God's promised good, but he's channeled these promises and focused and gathered all these promises in one people. Israel, the Lord has spoken good concerning Israel. Hobab, you're heading off back to your Midianites. The Lord has not spoken good concerning Midian. There are other peoples out there who may want you to come in with them, but God's not promised good to them. He's promised good, lots of good, loads of good, but it's all in this one people, Israel, his Old Testament people, and of course his church in the New Testament Israel. Yes, God has promised great good, but he is isolated, he's located, he's localized these promises. They're not out there in the world. God has poured promises into his people, into his church. He's spoken good concerning them and no others. All things work together for good to them who love God, to them who are the called according to his purpose. Moses realizes that there are going to be some difficult times ahead, going to be some trials, but God has promised good concerning Israel. He'll work the trials and the disappointments and the losses to our good, and ultimately we will inherit this great good. This is what Moses keeps in front of him all the time. The Lord has promised good concerning Israel. He gets up in the morning. He's got this burden of 2 million people, many of them rebels. But the Lord has promised good concerning Israel. There's trouble even in his own family. Aaron and Miriam turn against him. But the Lord has promised good concerning Israel. That's his horizon. There's a good God who's made good promises and he'll bring good to me and me to good. And that's what we call you to a good God who has made good promises and who will bring you to good if you trust him. If that is kept as your horizon in the midst of all of life's trials and troubles. The Lord hasn't promised good for anyone, any people apart from his own people. For all others, he's promised Holocaust, eternal Holocaust. Come with us. Come away from the Holocaust. Come away from eternal evil, eternal destruction, eternal damnation. The Lord has spoken good concerning his people. But then there's a fourth reason. And it's this: we need your good gifts. We need your good gifts. Notice what Moses says. Verse 31. Leave us not, I pray thee, for as much as thou knowest how we are to encamp in the wilderness, and thou mayest be to us instead of eyes. And it shall be, if thou go with us, yea, it shall be that what goodness the Lord shall do unto us, the same will we do unto thee. God had given Israel the pillar of cloud by day and a fire by night, and it gave them tremendous guidance, but in a general sense. It led them in the right general path through the wilderness. But a pillar of cloud couldn't do a lot of the detail for 2 million people. And so Moses here looks at Hobab, and he sees a man who is very experienced in the wilderness, coming from the Midianites, who are shepherds, who knew all the ins and outs, the dangers, the good places to go, the bad places to be. He looks at Hobab and he says, look, Hobab, we need you. You've got gifts that we need. You've had experiences of life. You've acquired talents and you have abilities that are going to be extremely useful to the people of God. You can be to us as eyes in the wilderness. You'll be able to tell us where water is. You'll be able to tell us what's a dangerous location to camp in. You'll be able to tell what weather's coming our way. And though we follow that cloud generally, what a help you would be to us in the specifics. We'll manage without you. But you'd make it a lot easier for us if you came. We're not going to perish if you don't come. But we'll have a lot safer and a lot more comfortable time if you do come. Hobab, God's given you abilities, talents, experience, knowledge, that if you put at the disposal of the church, what a blessing you will be to us and how much more blessed we will be. We need your gifts. Is this not also what we feel when we look out in a congregation like this? In any congregation, we see so many people who God has blessed you with gifts, with abilities, with knowledge, with talents, with resources. But you're not putting them at the disposal of the church. We can manage without you. God's church won't perish if you don't come on board. But you could make the church an even better place. You could be a huge help to the Lord's cause. If you joined yourself to him and to his people, what talents you could bring, what knowledge, what experience, what resources, what practical help you might be able to be. What are you doing with your gifts? Are you going to be like Hobab, just go and devote them to sheep and dust for the rest of your life? Trying to just get a few more dollars. Couple of days of promotions? Or are you going to take these gifts that God has given you and devote them to the church and the cause of Christ? We need your gifts. The church needs your gifts. We could really use you. Think of what God has blessed you with. What God has done for you and in you and through you. Why has he done this up till this point? Is it just to live another 30, 40 years in the same way? Or is it tonight to say this is the time and this is the place? Take my gifts. Take me first. And take my gifts and use them for the good of thy people. Come with us. We're going to a good place. We'll do you good. We have a good God. And we need your good gifts. Will you come? Well, Moses was persuasive, wasn't he? And he needed to be. Because notice, when Moses had said in verse 29, we are journeying to the place of which the Lord said, I will give it you. Come thou with us, and we will do thee good. For the Lord has spoken good concerning Israel. And we have a real downer. And he said unto him, I will not go. But I will depart to mine own land and to my kindred. Moses has said, God's land and God's family. And Hobab says, no, my land and my family. I will not go. And you're saying it tonight as well, aren't you? You're seeing it. My land, my family, my life. I will not go. But we are not giving up. And neither did Moses. He continues to plead and persuade. Verse 31, he says, leave us not, I pray thee. I don't know what Moses does here. I somehow picture him just begging. Begging, leave us not, I pray thee. There's no way he's going to see this soul just walk away without spending himself, using his last arrows to bring him to his knees. And so he argues and he pleads and he beseeches and he persuades and he calls and he says, leave us not, I pray thee. Leave us not, I pray thee. What do you think the end of the story is? It's one of these incidents where we're left hanging. It doesn't say, does it? Did he or didn't he? Actually, it doesn't matter to you. All that matters is, will you or won't you? Will you or won't you? That's the question. We are actually given some hints later on in the Bible that Hobab did join the people of God. We're not told in this instant, but later on in Judges 1:16 and 4:11, the family of Hobab's mentioned, and Hobab himself, his family are mentioned. And we can't be conclusive, but it suggests that Moses was successful. Some couple of hundred years later, there they are in Judges, the family of Hobab the Kenite. I love to think that maybe in this passionate outburst, eventually Hobab crumbled. I will go. And I don't know, I see them coming into the camp, arms around one another. Come on, Hobab. We'll do you good. And you'll do us good too. And how, friends, we would love to do that this evening with every single one of you. Come with us. We'll do you good. Come with us. We'll do you good. And you'll do us good too. Let's pray. Our good God, we thank thee for all thy pleadings, all thy arguments, all thy invitations. We are so sorry that so often we have said, I will not go. Make us willing in the day of thy power, and may that powerful day be today. Lord, turn around those who are heading away from thy people and thyself. May they seek the good that thou alone canst give. We read in Psalm 6 of those people saying, who will show us any good? Then saying, Lord, lift on us the light of thy countenance. So we pray in similar terms, because this is the greatest good. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.